blessings we felt during this meeting. Thankful for the love we felt in this place.
Yes, sir.
For the love that's been showered on us in Brother Bob and Sister Sally's home.
Yeah.
And that's a love that only comes from the Lord in heaven.
Right. Mm.
I'm so thankful. Thankful for the labors of the church, all that's involved in going on with a meeting like this. Thankful for your pastor and for his selfless service.
Yeah.
He's faithful in the service of the Lord and to his people. I thank God for all these gospel ministers that have preached so ably. May we pray that the Lord will bless right now. Got your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Psalm chapter 110. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, at the end of Matthew chapter 22, applies this psalm to the Christ.
Yep.
He applies this psalm to himself.
That's right.
He asks the question, what think ye of Christ, the Messiah?
Whose son is he?
Right. They said he's the son of David.
Well.
He said, why then did David in spirit call him Lord?
Right, that's right.
So he is the son of David. He would come to inherit the throne of David. He's a descendant of David, but he's also David's Lord.
Yeah.
And as we begin this song, we'll see the Lord, God the Father. The Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord, God the Father, said unto my Lord, God the Son, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Right.
Rest assured, little child of God, there is coming a day when Jesus comes again that justice will be done against the wicked. And those who have hated the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who have hated the Lord Jesus Christ, and hated his people, and tortured them, and battered them in every conceivable way, there's a day of justice that will come. And every enemy of Jesus Christ will be under his foot. He'll put his foot on the neck of all of his enemies.
Lord, thank God.
You know, one of the first things we learned I was a federal probation officer for over 30 years. And one of the first things we learned in defensive tactics was where the neck and the head go, the body follows. And they put a big guy on us that's choking us. And the move was grab the back of his neck and push straight down to the ground. And when you got his neck on the ground and his head on the ground, his body was on the ground.
Yeah.
But it was a symbol of victory. There was a time when some enemy teams came against Israel. And the Lord gave Israel a great victory. And he told Joshua, who gave the command, you go get those enemy kings that we have completely conquered and defeated. And you put your foot on their neck.
Uh-huh.
It's a sign of complete and total victory.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, his victory is complete.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, one sweet day when he comes again, all the enemies of Christ will totally realize just how complete his victory is.
Yes. Amen.
The main worry in our world today is justice really being done. Is the wicked really going to ever get what they justly deserve for the things they've done to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his people? I'll tell you, there's a day coming when Then we get to the next verse, and I'm not going to cover, or we'll skip to verse 3. And then we'll go to the end of the chapter. And I'll try to be mindful of the time. Again, this chapter is about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to see some of the Lord's attributes here. But as we see his attributes, we're going to see that he's given to us his attributes. Let's read verse 3. Thy people shall be willing,
yeah,
in the day
of thy power.
Of thy power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And I'm going to tell you, we've been blessed to already be recipients of the day of his power individually in our life.
Right.
And that was the day he came and he born us again by his precious Holy Spirit. And he took us from a state of death and trespasses and sins into a state of life in Christ.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus would describe it in John chapter 5. When he'd say, the hour is coming and now is when the dead, not the physically dead, but those that are dead in trespasses and sin, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
Amen.
And when he came to us, we came from death to life and will never, ever be the same again. And when he did that, he washed us with the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He in a vital way applied his blood to us.
Yeah.
Then he shed on Calvary to us, and he made that part of us, that inward man, perfect and holy in every single way.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
John would write about that in 1 John chapter 3. And he would talk about that holy part of us, that inward man that the Lord has made perfect. He described it this way in 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
Right.
You may say, Brother Mark, I think I'm a born-again child of God, and I sin all the time.
Yeah.
Not this part of you, doesn't it?
That's right.
Your old Adam nature does. But there's a part of us that does not sin. It said, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And I'm going to tell you, that part of us that the Lord washed in regeneration when he born us again by his precious Holy Spirit, that part of us is ready for heaven right now.
That's right, Lord.
That's why what these precious brethren have been preaching to us. Why, it's true that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As soon as we breathe our last breath, nothing has to change about that inward man, but it just instantly goes to be with the Lord. It's heaven. He's already cleansed it. He's already changed it. And that's why we so desire right now at this moment to worship him with everything we have, because of that inward man he's put within us. Let's see a little description of that. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. You know, that's a perfect description of the Lord. The Lord Jesus is the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord mighty and bound. And the Lord Jesus never waned in strength one iota, but he maintained his might and strength. And I'm going to tell you, when he fought that greatest battle on the cross of Calvary, I realize from a human perspective he suffered so greatly. But I'll tell you, he triumphed gloriously on the cross of Calvary. And the Lord Jesus has a strength that never wanes. The Lord Jesus,
that's right,
has a power that never goes down one iota.
Amen.
He has a beauty. So worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Yes.
The Lord's altogether lovely.
Amen.
He's altogether beautiful.
Mm.
Song of Solomon would say that he's altogether lovely. But you know, he's given us of his beauty. I love there in the book of Ephesians that we quote so oftentimes in wedding ceremonies, where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might have to present it to himself a glorious church.
Amen.
Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But it should be holy and without blemish. Little child of God, bride of Christ, he has made you beautiful. He's given you some glory even now in the inward man.
Yeah.
In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Me and Brother Bob were talking this morning out front about the blessing of dew. And the word dew in the Bible is presented as a way of blessing. When Jacob had tricked his father into thinking he's Esau, and his father is pronouncing that blessing on him. Part of the blessing was, God bless you with the dew of heaven.
Yeah.
And of the fatness of the earth. And plenty of corn and wine.
Yeah.
Dew was a picture of the great blessings of the Lord. You know that manna that God fed them in the wilderness with for 40 years? You know where that manna formed? In the dew. When the dew came up, there was the manna. So it's a picture of the great blessings of the Lord and the newness of the Lord. You know, Lamentations, it'll say, thy mercies are new
every
morning. Do you need new mercies every morning? I sure do. Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Yes.
He said, thy compassions fail not.
Right.
They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Lord,
he mentions dew, the newness of a new day and of the morning. He mentions the womb of the youth. By the way, that Lamentations where it talks about compassions, sometimes that Hebrew word is translated womb. What do we think of the womb? The newness of life.
Yeah.
The newness of a little baby.
Yeah.
Being that womb. And you know what the Lord's put within us in the new birth that's new.
Yeah.
Every morning.
Amen.
You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he would say, though your outward man perish.
Yeah.
We all know that's happened.
Yeah.
The way you look in the mirror today looks a little different than it did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Me too. Though your outward man perish, yet your inward man is renewed day by day. That means the new man the Lord's put within you. It's not that you're more born again today than you were yesterday, or you'll be more born again tomorrow than you are today, but it means God sustains that life.
Yeah.
And it's new every morning.
Yeah.
It never gets old.
Yeah.
It never gets old.
Ooh.
It never gets tired.
Oh, that's right.
Never.
Rejoice.
Its strength never fails.
Woo.
It's as the dew of the morning. It's as that's the womb.
Yeah.
It never gets old.
No, that's right. Amen.
And that's why we can be with one of our loved ones. A dear old saint of God that believes in salvation by grace. And we can be with him and their body is failing and maybe racked with physical pain.
Yeah.
Maybe their body is failing and their body is fading away.
Yeah.
But their spiritual man ain't fainting.
But
their spiritual man is as young and as vibrant and is as strong as it's ever been.
Yeah.
And they're anxiously awaiting to see what our precious brother preached to us. The face of Jesus Christ.
Ooh. Amen. Hallelujah.
What a blessing.
Oh, it's good.
The dew of the morning. Let's go to the very last verse. And I'll try to be mindful of the time.
You're fine.
Again, this is about the Lord. Said, he shall drink of the brook in the way. Not he might.
No, he shall.
He shall. And we as old Baptists, we love the shalls of the Bible.
Amen.
We do.
He shall drink of the brook in the way. There's only one place in the New Testament the word brook is mentioned, and that's in John 18, where Jesus crossed over the brook Cedron to go into the Garden of Gethsemane and would very quickly go to the cross of Calvary. Only time it's mentioned. But I'm going to tell you, if you look at some of the verses about the brook Kidron in the Old Testament, which Cedron is just the New Testament way of saying Kidron.
Right.
There is a powerful picture of depravity and sin in this brook.
Right.
It's already been mentioned that many of the sacrifices that were offered in Jerusalem would flow down and go down into this brook Kidron. It was a bloody brook. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament rendered for Kidron means dark. It means mournful. To mourn. M-O-U-R-N. It's a dark, mournful, black, putrid brook. Now let's look at some of what was thrown into that brook. And we could go to more places, but I just want to go to a couple to show forth. 2 Kings chapter 23. Very godly king of Israel, or of Judah, is king, King Josiah. He was king when he was just 8 years old, but I'll tell you, he made a tremendous difference. And let me say this, I don't care how old you are here this morning. And I don't care how young you are here this morning. You have the ability by the blessing and power of Almighty God to make a tremendous difference in other people's lives.
Yeah.
And don't ever forget that.
Right. Amen.
Josiah, 8 years old, made a tremendous difference in Judah because he said, I'm going to do it God's way.
Right.
And I'll tell you, no matter how old you are, how young you are here this morning, if we make that same commitment, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to follow His book. It makes a tremendous and wonderful and glorious difference in the lives in which we live.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let's look at what it says in 2 Kings 23:4. Said, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. You catch that?
Yeah.
These are in the temple of the Lord. Pagan worship had gotten into God's house. I'm going to tell you, we need to be careful as the people of God. To keep things out of the church that the Lord says belong out.
Amen.
And to keep things in the church that the Lord says belongs in there.
Right.
He's told us that preaching, praying, and singing is all we need. And we need to keep the things of the world out of the church.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And they're getting them out. He said, bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of, listen, Kidron. And he carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Let's look at verse 6. And he brought out the grove, another place of pagan, heathen worship, from the house of the Lord, without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the grave of the children of the people. So the idolatry of the children of Judah. And their pagan worship, their idols were literally stamped and crushed down into powder and put in the brook Kidron. You see the vivid picture of the immorality and the sin of Israel being on that brook. There was another place, and I won't turn there for the sake of time, but it says that all the children of Israel, David was fleeing Jerusalem because of the rebellion of his son Absalom. And it's a very sad scene. David's fleeing because his own son has rebelled against him. And see, David knows why that's happened. Because of his sin with Bathsheba and him basically murdering Bathsheba's husband, God Almighty had said the sword will never depart from your house. So David's fleeing Jerusalem and they cross over this brook Kidron.
Right.
And David's weeping. And all the people are weeping. Because he knows the sin of his son.
Yeah.
And he knows his own sin. You see the image of this brook being the sins of the children of Israel. But it being our sin. And our children's sin. Jesus in John 18, he crosses over that brook Cedron. And you'll remember that the servants and the soldiers of the high priest come to take him into custody. Peter chops off a servant of the high priest ear. I've always believed Peter was trying to take off his head, but the guy probably ducked, and Peter like, well, I just got an ear. And we see the graciousness of the Lord in healing that ear. But the Lord tells Peter this. He says, the cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink? It's the cup of Kidron.
Yeah.
It's the cup that has all of my sins in it, and all of your sins in it, and all the elect family of God, that putrid, foul, black, dark brook of Kidron. I read even as recently as a few years ago that there were still like 36,000 metric pounds of raw sewage still flowing down in the brook Kidron. Recent history. Can you imagine the filthiness and the vileness of what was in that cup? But Jesus, he shall drink the brook Kidron. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Now I'm going to tell you, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, though I know he suffered greatly under the hands of men with the nails in his hands and in his feet and the crown of thorns crushed upon his head and the Roman whip upon his back and the way they mocked him and brutalized him. But I'm going to tell you, little child of God, that paled in comparison with the cup that he drank that was the equivalent of an eternity in hell multiplied by all the elect family of God in that one cup.
Right.
And he drank it down to the bitter dregs.
Right.
And when he finished the cup, your sin was gone.
Amen.
And my sin was gone. He got the job done. He finished the work. And when that cup was finished, when he drank of the brook in the way, our heads can be lifted up. You know, one of the things that makes my head go down is when I feel condemned. When I've done wrong, and I know it. But praise God, what he tells us in Romans 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What the Lord did for us on the cross of Calvary took away our sin, took away our condemnation.
Amen.
And he's lifted up our heads. You know, when I was a little boy and I'd be hurt, I'd run to Mama. My head would be hanging down. And I'd be in pain and I'd be crying. And she'd put her hand under my chin. She'd wipe my tears away. And she'd lift up my head. There's been times as a grown man that my wife has wiped away my tears. Has put her hand under my chin and lifted up my head. But I'll tell you, there's coming a day, little child of God, when this one that drank of the brook in the way for us, he's coming again. He's going to lift up our head then, and it'll never go down again. When he comes again, and Luke 21, it tells us, it speaks of the coming of Christ and him coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Amen. And when he comes again, he said, then look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. And when he comes again, our heads will never hang down again. But we'll be with him in glory and in perfect beauty forever and ever and ever. Amen. Till then, may we serve you with everything that we've got.
Yes, God bless you.